Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this live stream today. It's a privilege to be able to share a thought with you, which I believe continues the theme that God's already been speaking to us in this broadcast through. So let me just, as a church family, take us back, because we have a theme for this year, don't we, called New Land Living. And it's based on the Bible story of Joshua leading God's people into their promised land in the Old Testament. And we've kind of paralleled that with Jesus leading us into the new life we have in Him. Back on First Fruit Sunday, we marked that moment together by taking a deliberate faith step into a new season of life for us personally, but also as a church community. And since then, we've unpacked it. We talked about the need to eat differently in the new land, to fight differently, to be more mature, to have a responsible attitude to work. And we've pulled lots of lessons from that journey. And then COVID hit. And suddenly, the world changed. And the truth is that it's meant the new land we're living in is looking even more different than we expected, isn't it? It's now just beginning to kind of change a little, and we're beginning to emerge from lockdown, although some of us are back in a sort of a semi-lockdown, and oh my Lord, what do we do with it all? Well, I'll tell you what it has done. This whole lockdown thing has created another crossing the Jordan type moment for us to engage with. Because already we're beginning to ask questions like, well, what do I want to take with me from this season into the next? And that's kind of been in a lot of the conversation. So we thought it was a good time for us as leaders to bring you church family back into our overarching theme of what new land living looks like for you and for us. You know, as you press into your new life in Christ, what new land living looks like for you, I wonder what you're going to take with you. Well, let me personalize it for you, because for me, one of the things that I've definitely already decided I want to incorporate into my new land living, my new life living in this next season, is an intentionally slower pace. You know, I don't know what your life's like out there today, but there's a good chance it's manic. There's a good chance that your normal is frantic, that normal life is rushing from kids to work to mealtimes to bedtimes to all the stuff that we fill our lives with, because life can be frantic. But when COVID hit and lockdown came, we were kind of enforced to have a Sabbath. We were enforced to take a rest. And it dawned on me at one point in this last few months that actually a lot of the things that I was doing and really enjoying, being energized by, were the very things that God created the Sabbath for. Now, we're talking about new land living, okay? God's people going on a journey from an old life to a new life. Well, let me tell you, in their old life, they did not have a Sabbath. But God wanted them to have one as He entered into the new land. I found myself doing and having time for lots of the things that Sabbath was created for. Now, some of you are probably thinking, what was it created for? Well, let me read you from Exodus 20. This is part of the Ten Commandments, where God instituted the Sabbath day, which was basically a day's rest every week. God says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So this Sabbath thing is Godward in its trajectory. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor a foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Interesting. He institutes it, but then explains why. And the why in verse 11 is, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested. In other words, God did his work and rested and set in motion a creation principle. This is nothing to do with pre-Old Testament, New Testament, in Christ, outside of Christ. As human beings created in God's image, you need a day's rest in seven-ish. Or you need to have periods of rest. There needs to be periods that are deliberately set aside for regeneration and recuperation. It's a side thought, but if you actually read the Genesis accounts, man was created on day six. So human beings had their very first day on the Sabbath. Their first full day was a day of rest, which establishes a principle. We're supposed to enter life and enter work from a place of rest. That's how God has wired us. So we need to remember that and live in that manner. You know, as I was saying, I found in this COVID thing, I had lots of times to do the things that Sabbath was created for. And if we had time, we could unpack this through the Bible. But basically, the Sabbath created for four things initially. Firstly, for rest, so that we literally just have a rest point. Time to rejuvenate, to read, to reflect, to rest your body, rest your soul, turn your mind off a little bit, just pause. Secondly, it was created for worship. It was towards God in its trajectory and purpose. So we're supposed to remember God on the Sabbath. Create spaces in our week where we say, ah, yes, Lord. The noise has crowded you out, but I pull you back in. Lord, I recenter, I refocus. We worship. We refocus spiritually as well as in our body and soul realm. Thirdly, Sabbath was given for family. You know, on the Sabbath day, you weren't allowed to go to work back in those days. Nobody was. And you weren't even allowed to travel much either on the Sabbath in Israel later on. So you had to spend Sabbath with your family. Well, who knows? We've had a Sabbath for the last 3 or 4 months, haven't we? Because we've had to be with our families. And actually, it's precious. It's special. It energizes us. I know we drive each other's nuts sometimes, but essentially, as part of our refocusing and refreshing, family's important. And fourthly, I think we can make a case Sabbath's all about recentering. It's about recentering, about getting back in touch with our humanity, our key relationships, and the now, the present moment. So we're not distracted by what's to come or what's happened before. Let's get back into the moment and let Him restore your soul. And as I rest my body and I get back in touch with His Spirit, I'm refreshed. And I've liked that. I've liked it. And so now as we emerge into what some are calling the new normal, whatever that means, I've resolved I want to retain a slower pace and honor the Sabbath principle in New Land living. But, and this is a big one, I have to say, I can already feel the pull of my old pace of life saying, come on, Steve, you should work faster. You know, you should work harder. You should earn more money. You need to travel again. Come on, Steve. And part of me goes, oh, yeah, I want that. But actually, part of me is saying, whoa, I'm not going to let you control me anymore. I am going to be in control, as Ben said earlier in the service, I'm going to stay in control of my choices and the pace that I do my life in. But I can feel the pull. So the questions become, how do we ensure that we don't slip back into the rat race? How do we ensure we don't slip back into a frantic form of living that ultimately pulls us back into the relentless pursuit of stuff and money and ambition and things which potentially enslave us? Well, I have an answer for you. I've worked out how you do it. You do it by taking a Sabbath. Because What I've just said, those four things, isn't the end of the story when we unpack Sabbath. You see, there's a fifth reason for taking a Sabbath, and this is the main thing I want you to get today. If I take you back to our key story, God's people had come out of Egypt, where they'd been in slavery. They'd crossed the Red Sea, they'd come to the Mount Sinai, and God gave them the Ten Commandments, including keep the Sabbath, like we read earlier in Exodus. But many of you know they didn't go in. They chose not to enter their new land straight away. And there was 40 years of distraction and wandering aimlessly while a whole generation died and a new one emerged. And that new generation eventually found themselves by the River Jordan, ready to go in to be led by Joshua. And Moses gives them the Ten Commandments again. He said, right, all you new guys, remember, this is what God gave us as rules for life. And he gives them again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And of course, it's pretty much a carbon copy, as you'd expect, because what he said to the former generation, God hasn't changed his mind. But there are nuances. There are additions that are built in. See if you can spot the difference between Deuteronomy 5, the second giving of the law, against the first. Moses says this, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your animals, not any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. That's pretty much carbon copy. And it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Spot the difference? This time, the why we take a Sabbath is different. In Exodus, the why is do it because God does it. Creation principle. In Deuteronomy, it's take a Sabbath. Why? Because you've been in slavery and you don't want to end up back there again, do you? Because every time that you take a Sabbath, you have to remember, life is not about being a slave to anything. Life is not about frantic pace 24/7. See, they knew what slavery was like. It had killed many of them. They'd done hard labor 24/7. They were busy, but deeply unhappy under cruel taskmasters who never delivered on their promises to them. No wonder they cried out to God. That was old land living for them, life under Pharaoh. But new land living under Joshua had got a Sabbath built into it. A Sabbath? Yeah, because God takes the Sabbath. God rests, and he's made us to need a rest. But also a Sabbath because every time you rest and create a Sabbath moment in your life, you make a statement, and it's an act of defiance. It's a statement of resistance that says, I resist the pressure to slip back into the rat race. I stay in control of my life. It's a signal that never again will we be slaves. Never again will we be slaves. So in your new land living, as you begin to think ahead and think for this next season, please consider taking a day's rest or half a day's rest or some time every few days. However you can weave it into your life, don't be legalistic. Because the truth is, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Covenant in Christ. And we could make a case that we live in a perpetual rest in Christ, which is awesome. But as human beings, we need the Sabbath moments for rest, for worship, for family, for recentering. But especially, can I urge you? Take a regular Sabbath as an act of resistance against anything that has the potential to enslave you. See, work can enslave you. The pressure to be on duty 24/7, you've got to resist it. You know, home working is great. I do it all the time. But the problem with home working is you're always at work. And when you take a Sabbath, you're saying, work, God, I refuse to be led by you, mastered by you. You've no power over me. I am taking a Sabbath. Money can enslave us. The need to be earning money 24/7 has got to be resisted. And when you take a Sabbath, you're saying, money, God, I resist you. I'm going to rest in a God who is my supply, who is good and is for me. Social media can enslave us, can't it? You know, the need to get more Facebook or Insta likes, to get them 24/7, to be on our phones constantly. When you take a Sabbath from social media, you're saying, social media, God, I resist you. You will not control my life. I stay in control. I don't need to know that people like me. I've got a God who loves me, and I'm going to make that my primary focus. It does us good to pause and take a Sabbath. Rest in God's ability to look after things, to provide, and don't allow ourselves to slip back into any form of slavery again. So let's take a Sabbath rest as part of our new land living, a deliberate time to rest and a deliberate act of resistance against anything that would pull us back into slavery. Now, in the New Testament, Paul says in one place, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether with plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In his strength, you can resist the pull of the rat race, the pull of any potential form of slavery. And that strength, I believe, is found in a Sabbath, in pausing, just like Ben had us do earlier in this service, just as he had us with the exercise of what distracts you and what attracts you with the hands, that it's pausing, centering, resting, and saying, I am not going to be mastered by anything other than the wonderful God in heaven, my Lord and Savior, who is my provider. We need to think about this for a minute or two. So we're going to just create a moment now for us all to discuss in our homes, talk to one another in our family units, maybe just reflect personally. And I want you to think around this question. How can I better build the Sabbath principle into the next season of my life? We are going into a next season. So, like, you know, get practical. Think about the reality of your world, your kids, your job, your family, all those things. How can you build it in? A Sabbath discipline so that you get the rest, the rejuvenation, and the blessing that only a Sabbath can bring.